Matthew chapter 13, the Lord has given the parable about the four different kinds of ground. And he spoke to the people in that day in parables. And what a blessing it is that we just don't get the Word of God in parables, but we have the Word of God, the Scripture, the New Testament Scripture. Not only do we have the parables, but we have the explanation of those. And that's a fulfilling, and that's a great blessing. What a wonderful time to live in where the Word of God is so free. It says here in verse number 10, "And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." Wow, that's really something, isn't it? To you it's given, to them it's not given. "For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath," or in other place, "even seems to have. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive," not get it. "For the people's, this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." It's necessary that we hear, we all hear and understand and perceive the Word of God. It's necessary. It's the only way to healing. Verse 16, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." And we think about our brethren, the apostles, how many things they didn't understand. And how many things they just didn't get. But our Lord says this to them. We do need our Lord, don't we? Verse 17. "For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them." Let's read it again. "For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men," hear that? Prophets and righteous men "have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them. Many prophets and righteous men have desired to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them." The title of this morning's message is "We See What They Wanted to See." And we hear what our brethren, what they wanted to hear. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day and your good blessing upon us. Lord, your goodness towards us and greatness towards us is just wondrous and miraculous and marvelous, Lord. You are marvelous and miraculous and great. Your majesty is without comprehension. Your power is without limit, and Lord, your knowledge is everlasting. And Lord, we just praise your name that you are God, and beside you there's none other. We thank you, Father, that you revealed yourself and shown us some things about you. And Lord, we thank you for so great salvation through your dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, we might worship you. Help us, Father, that we might honor unto you the praise and glory and magnifying that's due your name. And Lord, we might lift up the name of the Lord Jesus, and as we all, as already has been done. And Lord, we just might worship you in spirit and truth. To come together to worship you, Lord, a great privilege that you've bestowed upon us. Help us, Father, as your children, we'd be edified and built up. And Lord, might learn more about you and might live for you and walk humbly with you until the Lord Jesus Christ comes. We pray, Father, for those here not saved, Lord, that you'd save them. Lord, that you would open their eyes and open their ears, open their hearts to their need, to the Savior, to your great salvation that is found alone in you. Lord, work. Help, we pray. Bless us with your word and bless us in the day and in this service. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. We see what they wanted to see. We hear what they wanted to hear. In Isaiah chapter 39, I've talked and have mentioned, and there really seems to be a line of demarcation here in this book. Isaiah, a prophet to the nation, and dealt with them, the call of the Lord to deal with them and be a minister unto them, to warn them and to tell them the truth about their waywardness and all the things that have come upon them and will come upon them. He's very plain. He's sent from the Lord. And we really find, again, this line of demarcation that we see in the book of Isaiah happens right here at chapters 39 and 40. Again, our Lord said to our brethren there that about those parables and that there were many prophets and righteous men that wanted to hear what you hear and see what you see. And here we are. I think that applies to us here being on this side of the giving of the New Testament and the Lord's work in his church. We live in that time where we are able to see and understand, have in the Word of God, to hear from our Lord those things that these brethren wanted to know more about. Don't you wonder about Isaiah when he wrote? Don't you wonder about Isaiah when he came and he testified to Hezekiah the things that are written here? Don't you wonder about when our Lord impressed upon Isaiah to write chapter 40? Of course, when he wrote it, he didn't sit down and say, write down chapter 40. These divisions in our King James translation came at a later time. And maybe those that were responsible for doing that work, busting up, breaking up the scriptures into chapters and into verses to make it easier to navigate, maybe they saw something here and did so. But I find it very interesting that this is this way. In chapter 39 of Isaiah, we have here Brother Hezekiah, and he's a good king in many respects, but he has his faults and failures. Really seems to be a naive man. And he had been sick. He had been recovered from that illness. The Lord even gave him more time because he sought the Lord's face. And in his naivete, he showed Babylon everything about his kingdom. Everything about his kingdom. Isaiah comes to him and says in verse number 30, verse number 3 of chapter 39, what these men say. And Hezekiah said, they're come from a far country, even from Babylon. And he said, what have they seen in your house? Isaiah asked him in verse 4 and said, I've shown them everything, every single thing. And then Isaiah prophesies here. He says, hear the word of the Lord of hosts, verse 5. Verse 6, behold, the days come that all that is in thine house, all of it, even that stuff that's over there in the corner that the dust had settled on, Hezekiah, that the cobwebs have grown over, even all that stuff that's been forgotten about in your treasure houses and in the treasure houses of the kings before you, all that stuff, all that is in thine house, and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. You know, you would kind of look on at Hezekiah and say, what was he thinking? What was he thinking that he would so open up himself? But then it goes on and it says here, in verse 7, and of thy sons that shall issue from thee, that which would your children that have come from your loins, Of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. And understand this reference to being eunuchs. It wouldn't be that these would be necessarily mutilated, but they would be refrained from having family, refrained from having their homes. They would be trophies unto the king of Babylon. And we know in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ and the kings of Judah that the Lord was merciful unto a king that came after Hezekiah. And the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ through Joseph was intact and whole, if my memory serves me right. Then we see here Hezekiah's response. Over the years, I've been troubled at his response. Then said Hezekiah to Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken, which the word of the Lord is always good. Okay. He said, moreover, for there shall be peace and truth in my days. Is this an indication of a bad attitude? He said, well, at least I'm off the hook. I've kind of taken it that way at times. Maybe Hezekiah is truly thankful. I mean, you know, a telling about your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren that are going to be taken by the enemy, the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, right? That's what Habakkuk is told by the Lord. And you say, well, at least there'll be truth and peace in my days. Seems kind of selfish, doesn't it, to me? Is it a thing about Hezekiah that he just has no vision for the future? Seven more kings are going to reign after Hezekiah and Judah, and Josiah is going to be a good one. There's going to be reprieve with him. And then after those seven kings, there's going to be 70 years of captivity in Babylon. There's going to be some more prophets during that time, and they're going to write to and be a witness there unto the nation that even they themselves are held captive with. Jeremiah is going to go through some very difficult things, isn't he? And Ezekiel is found over there. Daniel's found over there in Babylon being captive with the nation. And then even worse after that, there's going to be some blessing in that Israel or Jerusalem and the temple is going to be rebuilt, but it's not going to be like it was. So there's little spots of reprieve and help that's there indeed. But then there's going to be 400 years of silence from God. It had never occurred to me like this before, but can you imagine Israel? At least the Lord's people. Those that had faith in the Lord and when the prophet would write, when the prophet would be sent by the Lord and it would be signified that this was a prophet of the Lord, there were false prophets that would come. But Isaiah, for example, Daniel, Ezekiel, those brethren were true. Joel and Amos and Obadiah and Habakkuk and Micah and Malachi, right? All those are true men of the Lord. And the people of God that were there in those days when they heard those men speak and they read what they wrote, you know, at least there was a word from God. You know what I'm saying? Our situation's really bad and we're held captive over here and we've always got somebody oppressing us. All my life, people would say we've had somebody having dominion over us because of the sins of our nation and the sins of the people. But at least there's another word. Praise the Lord for the brother that the Lord raised up that would tell about the truth about us. But then, well, we haven't heard from the Lord in a long time, haven't we? After 100 years, after 200 years, We read those old books and boy, what a blessing they are that the Lord spoke to us as a nation then. You know, we haven't heard from the Lord in 300 years. We haven't heard from the Lord in 375 years. That's when that last book was written. I never thought about that way. Because we know at the advent of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the beginning of his life and the beginning of his gospel, and even before that, when Brother John the Baptist was sent, there were those that were looking. And would there not have been those of the people of the Lord that had desire for the Lord and the truth and his word and say, you know, it's been 390 years since that last book was written. You know, we heard from the Lord on a regular clip for hundreds of years. Kind of a different thought, isn't it? Kind of something here in chapter 39. Hezekiah just seems kind of self-centered maybe and kind of resigned to what's going to happen. Kind of seemingly no vision for the future and for his children. Just really kind of passe about it. At least it ain't going to happen in my time. At least I'm not going to have to deal with being captive. I don't know. Maybe I misunderstand the way that he meant it. It almost kind of seems, and I wonder, and just kind of, it's supposition, speculation on my part, but it seems like could this be a testimony of our Lord that indeed that this Old Testament, hear what I'm saying, this Old Testament, and the Lord knows what he's doing. The Lord's never trying to do anything, but it's kind of a statement that our Lord would say, this Old Testament that I've given to this people, it just isn't going to work. It just isn't going to work. And the reason it isn't going to work is not because of me, but because of them. Because understand, this nation, since the Lord brought her out of Egypt, there is a sense that this nation that he birthed out of Egypt and brought to the land of Canaan, she's just kind of been going downhill since. She's had a time of glory. She's had a time of blessing. But after what Brother Solomon did and how the kingdom was divided up, it just kept going downhill, didn't it? And we see that our Lord deals with his nation. And we see that our Lord has made promises to her, made promises to Abraham, made promises to Isaac and Jacob, made promises to the patriarch. But here then at this chapter 40, it almost seems like our Lord then begins to go into overdrive into what he's really, really going to do. The New Testament that he's made, the New Testament that he's going to keep. And praise be to God that as bad as his nation got and is corrupt and bad off and did what they did to require his chastisement, he didn't quit. He didn't give up. As it says even in this book, his arm, his hand brought salvation. And so we read here in chapter 40, where the scripture says this, the tribulation of the Lord's people has come and is going to come to an end. Isaiah 40 verse 1, comfort ye my people, saith your God. He hadn't forgot about them, has he? Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished and her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. She's been chastised, and it's enough. She's been chastised, and her tribulation is coming to an end. Verse number 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert. And that's what Israel had become. not a famine of food, but moreover a famine of hearing of the word of God, right? He said, make the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, and that's what Israel had become. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Well, who was it? Who is this one that cries in the wilderness? Well, we know it's John the Baptist, don't we? The beginning of the New Testament. The beginning of what the Lord would do and what the Lord has always purposed to do. The salvation from God by his son Jesus. It says, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Who is the highway made for? It was made for Jesus. And he's coming. Every valley shall be exalted. What, you know that? The low places are going to be brought up. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. It'll be made plainer. It'll be made straight. And the crooked shall be made straight. You remember how he healed? And the rough places plain. You remember how he worked and how he walked and how he did. John came preaching before him. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. How? How shall the glory be revealed? In his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The glory of the Lord will be revealed in the person of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all flesh shall see it together. They saw it in the day that he came, and they'll see it. It'll be seen by all in the day when he returns again. Jesus is the answer to every question and everything, isn't he? Every knee, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. I tell you what, things are looking up, aren't they? Things are looking up. A messenger to be sent, the one crying in the wilderness. We turn back over here to Matthew, and we read here in chapter 11, and John the Baptist is sent before the Lord Jesus Christ, his own cousin, if you will, and he sent a miraculous birth in a miraculous way. Our Lord dealt with John, saved from his mother's womb and called by the Lord to be a minister that would come before him. And we read here in Matthew 11, verse number 1, and it came to pass when Jesus has made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? John sent a couple of his disciples to go inquire this of the Lord. Jesus answered and said unto them, go show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Just what we read over there in Isaiah 40. He said, this is it. It's come. It's happened. The glory of the Lord is shining. The valleys are being exalted and the mountains and the hills are being made low. A way has been made straight in this desert play, and a highway has been made for me by this one. Verily I say unto you, there in Matthew 11:11, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. He's the greatest that has ever been, John the Baptist. Because this is the great work of God that's been promised by him. This is the beginning of the New Testament. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding the economy of the Lord. Isn't it wondrous? He that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. There's a fight and a resistance to this by man and the world and Satan in every way. But the Lord said the meek are going to inherit the earth, not the dominant, and not Satan, and not the way that are of wickedness in that. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. They prophesied. Listen to this. I find these words very interesting. And if ye will receive it, this is Elias, or the one coming in the spirit of Elijah, which was for to come. If you will receive it, you'll be helped, because this is it. This is that time. This is the beginning of the New Testament. That Old Testament, it was given, but it's not going to work because man can't keep it. And we're studying and looking in Romans, indeed, about the law and the purpose of the law and that. God never intended for it to keep it or to work unto salvation. It never was. But this is the one, this is the testament that is truly going to work. The Old Testament proved that the new is needed. And that old way of Judaism, that old thing that was given, this old mess that's been made by these kings of my nation, I'm going to raise up a king. And he's going to reign in righteousness. And he's going to be the Savior. He is the Savior. And he is the judge. He is the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Intercessor, the Mediator. He is the Lamb of God. He indeed is the one that takes away the sin of the world. And so he says, if you will receive it. He says, this is it. See, the Jews are still looking for what it says there in Isaiah chapter 40. But this is the doing of it when our Jesus came. And so here, and back in Isaiah 40, we see about the tribulation of the Lord's nation, how it's going to be brought to an end. And then this messenger that will cry to make straight the way of the Lord and prepare his way, and that Jesus did come. He is our God. He is the glory of the Lord revealed. And so here, continue on in Isaiah 40 in verse number 6, the Lord's just going to lay it out plain and straight. Not a bunch of commandments. Not a sacrificial and ceremonial law. Not an order of the priesthood. But he's just going to lay it out in simple terms what men, women, boys, and girls need. What the Lord has purposed to do and is doing and has done. Remember, righteous men and the prophets, they wanted to see what we can see through this book. Righteous men and prophets that came before that time of the New Testament when Jesus came, they wanted to hear the things that you and I can plainly hear now. Hear that? Isn't it? It's a wonderful day to live in. Hear the Lord. The scripture says in Isaiah 40, verse 6, the voice said, cry. The voice that spoke to this one that is called, this one to be the voice in the wilderness. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is as grass, and the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. Here's the condition of man. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass, and the grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Don't look for a solution in yourself. You're grass. Hezekiah couldn't figure it out. Josiah was blessed of the Lord because of his obedience and desire for the Lord, the touch of God upon him. Yet he went out and did a very unwise thing in the end, didn't he? Solomon had it all. He had it all. And the blessing of the Lord. And wasted it. But you know what? We need to see what we are. We need to see our lack of capability. And we need to see that our hope and our salvation, the salvation of a nation, the nation of Israel, the salvation of sinners, is only found in our Lord. Verse number 9, O Zion, the deliverance of Israel. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Look to the Lord. Look to the Lord and look to him. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed. Praise the Lord. Look to him. His word, his glory revealed, the highway for our God made straight. He came. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, verse 10, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. This is the work of the Lord. One never goes wrong by trusting in the Lord and looking to him. And look at this. I love this. This is great. Oh, as powerful as he is and as great as he is, the greatness of God that we're going to see from verse 12 on for a few verses. Look at this. Look at this deliverance. Sinner, if you're here without Christ as Savior, look at the deliverance that is in the Lord. Look at as great and as mighty and as powerful the chastisement that he poured out upon his nation. And his working with them, his long suffering with them, the word that he sent them. Look at this great care. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs. He shall gather the lambs with his arm. Our Lord's not afraid of carrying a lamb. We're not talking about sheep. We're talking about people. We're talking about sinners that he saves. Isn't that great that our Lord carries us? He shall gather the lambs with his arm. He shall carry them in his bosom. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. Isn't that great? As wicked and wayward and sinful as we are, yet our Lord is long-suffering and compassionate to us in every way, isn't he? He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm. He provides and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. Our Lord, he leads us and he cares for us very much. But here we see the greatness of God. Here's who we're talking about. Lest it be misunderstood who we're dealing with. We're not dealing with the man upstairs. We're not dealing with an old, long-bearded old man that's up there in his rocking chair trying to keep things together. Who hath meted the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with a span of his hand, if you will, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and hills in a balance? Who can do that? That's this one that's compassionate. That's this one that is poured out his chastisement upon his nation. That's that one that has sent the messenger. That's the one that has sent the Savior. who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? You know, Lord, you really ought to do this. Nobody. He is all wise. He is all knowledgeable. He is all present. With whom took he counsel? Who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment and taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Who? He is all those things. Nobody has taught or counseled him. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and empty vanity. He took all of Lebanon in its prime, Lebanon known for all those tall cedars and all that great wood, many ships, much furniture, many houses were built from the wood out of Lebanon. And you take Lebanon in its prime, and it's not enough wood to make one big sacrifice to God that would matter. He's great, isn't he? He's great. But then we see here a contrast that we need to see. We need to see here how man seeks after God in and of himself. Look at this contrast between our great God and Savior and that of man. To whom will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image. The goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot, and seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. A contrast between our great God and just the little triflings of men. Man can't find God by himself. Takes the word of God. But praise be to God, he sent the word, hadn't he? Praise be to God. He's got instrumentality and ministers that he's used. Those righteous brethren, those prophets that wanted to hear what we hear and see what we see. Don't you wonder what Isaiah was thinking when he was writing? When he prophesied? When the Lord, word of the Lord was given unto him, inspired him to write these things down or to utter these things so the scribe could write them down, however it was done, through Isaiah this was given. Don't you wonder what he thought, what it all means? Our God is great, and he's not worshiped in an image. He's not an image. He's a spirit. He's a great God that has always has been, is eternal. In verse 24, yea, they shall not be planted. What men try to do to meet up to God, it won't last. It won't grow. They shall not be sown. There'll be no continuance in it. There'll be no root. They've got a God. They've made a God that they got to pack around, bow down before him and then lift him up. He can't even take himself to the next room. Their God. Them nor their God will stand. Man seeking after God in and of himself is a pitiful thing, isn't it? But praise be to God, as he said over here, the voice of one that crieth in the wilderness, the word of the Lord that he gave. What would it say over here? He says that his word will stand forever in verse number 8. And then we see God's great God's greatness and his work. In verse 25 on, let's read. To whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, and not one, not a thing that he says, not a thing that he's created, faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. You can't get away from God. A nation can't hide. The people can't hide. A king can't hide. No one can hide from him. He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increases strength. Isn't that good? Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. The best of the world are going to run out of gas. The best of the world are going to grow old and their strength be diminished. But even in their prime, in the prime of the greatest of men, they're nothing in comparison to our great God and King. The best of the world will utterly fall. They will be weary. But they that wait upon the Lord, they that wait, this word wait is talking about being bound, to bind. They that are wrapped up and bound, it alludes to even a twisting, to bind together. They that are bound up in the Lord, they that are wound up in the Lord, they that are bound to the Lord, twisted up within the Lord, waiting on him. Looking to him, tied up with the Lord, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That of the world is going to become weary. That of the world is going to utterly fall. But that is bound up, waiting upon the Lord, shall renew their strength. Not only that, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run for their Lord and not be weary. They shall walk for their Lord and not faint. Again, many of the prophets desire, and righteous men have desired to see the things that we see by what we have in the New Testament. The Lord giving the parables and that explanation, and he told it there. And he said, this, Isaiah 40, it's fulfilled. And that John was sent. And the salvation of the Lord is at hand through his Son. Are you saved? Rejoice in your Lord. He's a great God and has done wondrous, wondrous things. Are you saved? We've got the Word of God in this great telling of things that we can hear and see that those before us, the brother Isaiah, he didn't know. He knew what he wrote, but he didn't understand everything about what it told. But you and I here at this vantage point in this time, in this New Testament church age, with the New Testament and the Word of God and that which is written and given by the apostles and our other brethren that the Lord used to write the New Testament, we can see things that they couldn't see. We can hear things that they couldn't hear. We know that over here in this New Testament, at the coming of John the Baptist and the coming of the advent of the Lord Jesus Christ, we understand and know that this is the great work of God, the salvation of sinners, to the redemption of his nation, to the declaring of his word and the greatness of his might and power. Praise our Lord for what he has done. He says, if you will receive it, this is what's prophesied. It happened right then when he was talking about it. If you'll receive it. Interesting. I don't know what all it means and what all there is in it about this line of demarcation. So many passages after this chapter 40 that speak about more about the Lord Jesus Christ. You mark them down. You take a look at it. I challenge you on that. Look before and look after. And more that our brother is given about the Lord Jesus Christ in different chapters, Isaiah 55, 53, and 50. We see things about our Lord and Savior.